Okay. Over the past few weeks, Ralph has been talking about the kingdom of God and all of those things. That primarily started off with an Acts when Yeshua ascended. And, of course, they wanted to know, was the kingdom of God, was he going to reestablish the kingdom now? And these guys are ready. And as we heard all through the weeks, it basically, the message was, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And we also learned, too, that you're like, I would think of ourselves as being forerunners. We're going out, says, hey, it's a new kingdom coming over, and it's going to take over. So you should repent, because this is a righteous kingdom. And we saw all of the things that cannot enter into that kingdom. All right? So one of the other things that happened during that time is that after those 40 days that Yeshua spent with his disciples, he told them to go to stay in Jerusalem because there was a gift that was coming. And I don't know if they should have known what it was, because if we're looking at Acts 1, and I'm taking this from Acts 1, that he said that, remember that John baptized with water, and that that they would also be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So there's this expectation that they have as they followed his instructions. They went back to the upper room. According to scriptures, there are probably about 100 people, 120 or so. That's probably a pretty big room, probably maybe about this size. And they are there for, I'm guessing, it might have been around, say, if he was with them 40 days, maybe, I'm not sure how many days there were to follow before Shavuot took place, which is when? Anybody know when that is this year? Today? No. It's never on Shabbat. Yep, there are two ways to count it, right? So there's one that counts. See, I look at the scriptures, and the scriptures tell us this is the day after the Sabbath. So if it's the day after the Sabbath, I know that would be tomorrow, right? And so there's another way to count it, is the day after the annual Sabbath, which was, so that's the other way, and that would have been Wednesday and Thursday. Well, Wednesday. I'm just thinking because I deal with some guys that are in Israel. They do a lot of our software, and they said, we're not working on Tuesday and Wednesday because it's Shavuot. Of course, the guy said Pentecost, and I said, okay. That's for the English-speaking people. Right, so they were there, and one of the things as they got back, they said, "Oh, in prayer, they thought about one thing: what are we going to do about Judas? We're missing one." All right, so they prayed, and they did something that a lot of us said, "Oh, what are they doing? Casting lots." All right, they cast lots to see who was going to replace Judas. Now, some people say, "Well, casting lots to do that? Why didn't you just ask the Did you know in the scriptures, what does it say about lots? Every decision is from the Lord. There takes a certain amount of trust in the Lord for them to, they've done that because they trusted what the scripture said. And they chose, I believe it was Bartholomew, right, to replace. Then after that, then they were there praying every day and they got on one accord. And then Shavuot came. And then there was this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And just from the account that I see in the scriptures, is that they were there in probably such a big commotion that all these other people walked up. What is going on with these guys? What's going on? There were some there that looked at it and said, these guys must be drunk. They didn't hear anything but noise. And people really... But there were others that heard the word of the Lord coming from them. I'm not sure exactly how this happened, but my imagination is saying to me that they're prophesying. I mean, one, this is a couple of ways that you could have heard, is one person speaking in a language he does not know. Everybody was speaking in a language they didn't know. And here, this guy is speaking German or whatever, all the various languages. But what if there's one person and speaking and everybody can understand what he's saying? That is absolutely amazing, because the people around who heard this were absolutely amazed. What's going on with these guys? We hear them speaking of the praises of God. And after that, after God got everybody's attention, Peter got up and spoke. And there were all of these people that repented and came to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I would have liked to have been in the midst of all of that. And those of us who are way down here years later still can experience that baptism in the Holy Spirit. Those who have experienced it are excited. The other part of this is that, you know, the disciples demonstrated faith by doing what Yeshua said. They could have said, why am I going to stay here? I could go home, rest a bit, do whatever. But they had learned to trust Yeshua. Why could they trust him? Was there a reason they trusted him? Was it just blind? Okay, yeah, we'll do it. What? Because they had seen what he had done in the past. They knew his character. They knew his character. Like all of us should know the character of our Father. So if he asks us to do something, we should do it. The only way that there's any evidence that you trust the Lord is your actions after he's given you direction. Because one of the things that, if we remember, Israel did not go into the promised land because they did not trust the Lord. We read in Hebrews where he was very angry with them because they did not trust him, did not believe what he had told them. One of the things that has bothered me a long time is that, you know, there is a promise to each of us who accepts the Lord that you are to receive or can receive the Holy Spirit. But yet a lot of people don't believe it. They don't believe that promise and walk on a level way down here when you could be up here, where you could be ministering and doing things of the Lord. And what happens a lot of times, we see people who walk in that, oh, wow, and people want to gravitate to them and almost want to follow them rather than saying, going to them and says, what is it you have? I want that. The desire in our hearts should be desiring to move in the power of God in each and everything that we do, all day, every day. And it's available for everyone who wants to submit themselves to the Lord. Now, there is some hindrances that prevent us from doing that. One of them is that we look, well, maybe I'm not going to be able to do X, Y, Z, whatever that might be, which I consider, hey, you've stuck up this God that I don't want to put down, because if I do, I may not be able. You don't know what God wants or will bless you with or have. I can remember once, when I used to work at General Electric years ago, probably 20 years ago, maybe 30, I don't know. But it's been a long time. And there was this lady, she said, she looked at me, you know, you take all of that stuff from these people, why do you? And then she said, oh, I know why. It's because of your religion and what you believe. And, of course, I said, hey, it's available to you as well. Well, yeah, but and, of course, I asked the question, well, why not? She didn't answer. I said, it's because you think you're going to miss out on something. You think because you're following the Lord, you are not going to be able to do the things that you want to do. The answer was, yes. So, as people seek the Lord about receiving His Spirit and walking in His ways and looking at the Scriptures and says, man, I'd like to be involved in that. I'd like to be to walk and my steps are guided. I'd like to walk and know my next step is guided by the Lord, whether I hear it or not. I'm not going to be sitting over here, okay, I don't hear it. Well, if you trust the Lord, you trust that He's said what He was going to do, was to put His Spirit in us and cause us to walk in His ways, then move forward. Because it's so. Now, whether you believe it or not, doesn't make it not so. If you don't believe it, you're missing out because the promise is there. You're the one that missed out if you don't believe what the Lord says. Because He desires, if everybody here wants to do what the Lord wants to do, right? So if you pray a prayer, Lord, guide me and direct me, why would He say no? Why would He not want you to help you do what He desires for you to do? But if we pray a prayer and say that, and in our hearts, I hope he doesn't tell me to go over there. I hope he doesn't tell me to speak to this person or that person. I don't want to look weird. You don't necessarily have to look weird. You don't have to then, okay, do this and then start make up your own religion to try to make myself look exceptional or be weird. And because people say, hey, wait a minute, you're a little strange. It's maybe not the Lord that's leading you at that point. You may be ginning up your own concept of what God wants to do through you. Now, that's not to say you won't be persecuted, but I have been in places and I've seen people. Frankly, they name the Lord, name of the Lord, and I'm ashamed to be associated with this kind of person. I can think of a person, she was a secretary. She was very, at every function, hold it, we got to pray. Okay, pray, all right? She was, very nasty to people. I mean, just the opposite. She would gossip about people. She would do all the things that all the unbelievers expect you not to do. See, unbelievers know what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to treat people. She was doing just the opposite. And sometimes people like that will, when people start to say they're being persecuted. So, as the disciples receive the Spirit, and we can see them going out. Now, this was a very small group of people. And it spread over the entire world. Passed down even to us. And we see in the scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And a lot of us don't believe the last part, which is all things will. That means all things that you need, all things that God needs to supply you with to accomplish what's desired for the kingdom. If any of us are sent off to some place to be an ambassador for the U.S., all of your needs are taken care of. Your transportation is taken care of. Your food's taken care of. Whatever you need is taken care of to fulfill that position. So each of us has an opportunity to work as ambassadors of the kingdom. And everywhere we go, in every little corner that we work, I don't care how small your job is, it doesn't matter. Well, I'm not in full-time ministry, so therefore I can't do this or that. Wherever you are, it should be. If we look in John, John 13, 14, 15, read that. Where Yeshua is saying that he desire that we be one. And if you look at it, okay, group as being one. But then he goes on is that he and we and all of us are being one in him. If he comes to live inside of us, what should we look like? People should be able to look at you and have an example of what Yeshua is like. And, you know, as we walk and we listen and listen to the Spirit of God, you know, there's a lot of things that will be presented to us. And if you ask the Lord, says, hey, you know, show me what to do in this situation. It's easy. You don't have to stop doing what you're doing. It takes a second. And go ahead and do. Sometimes you don't have to do anything. Sometimes you do. Sometimes it's a small word. Sometimes it may seem harsh. But that comes from listening to the Lord. You can't try to say to the God and say, okay, thank you, Lord. You give me the task and let me go do it and leave me alone. Many times on our jobs, we like that. Hey, boss, give me the job to do. Then stay out of my hair. Let me go ahead and complete the task. But if God gives you a word to do something, make sure you ask, okay, do I have this right? You want me to do this? How do you want me to do it? He may tell you and he may not. He may just say, go. I'll tell you what to do on the way. So there's no formula. If you look in Scripture, you see Yeshua, you see the disciples healing people. Very few times are they doing exactly the same thing. One of the key points is Yeshua said, I do nothing unless I see my Father do it. He tells me how to do it, what to say, and all those things. Now, if we think we are greater than Yeshua, it says, okay, just tell me what to do and I've got this. We're not. We need to humble ourselves and be in the same place. Like little children saying, well, okay, I'm here. What's next? And really desire to move in what he has for you. And with humility and being humble and desire to fulfill all the things that he's already prepared for each of you and me to do in this world. Don't look over at somebody else. Well, what about him? Why can't I have his gift? And the Lord will say to you, you go. You do what I say. Don't worry about him. If I want them to jump off a building or fly through the sky, that's what I have for him. You do your part. And why is this important? Why is it that he says, I want you to do this little piece over here and this guy to do this over here and this? He's got the big picture. And if you think of it in terms of an army and you have the general, and he knows he's got a board that's out there, and he knows, I have these troops here, I have these troops here. He gets reconnaissance from the aircraft that are flying over. He knows where his troops are. He knows where the enemy is. And he'll call the commander to this group, says, I want you to move in this spot. And I want you to be there at this time. And the next guy, he calls another group and says, I want you to be here at this point. But if you've got a group of people who don't want to follow commands, you've got them all over the place doing all kinds of things and never win the war. And in any war, there are casualties. There are those that will die. And if you shrink back, as the scriptures say, you're not going to help forward the kingdom of God. So, as anyone can see, that God sees it all. He knows you're over here. He knows the skills that He's given you. And you're in the right spot. And He can use you. He desires to use you. And in the war, like I said, there will be those who will be persecuted. There are those that will give up their lives in this battle. But the war will be won. We know that. So if you lose your life following the Lord, that's a good thing. If you lose your life for some foolishness that you've done, that's not good. If you're in prison because you violated His commands, that could end up turning out as a good thing. It could be mercy that He put you in prison because you wouldn't follow Him. He would discipline you. And you're there, and maybe you'll come back to your senses and says, "Oh God, help me." But while you're there, He can figure out something for you to do there. You're on the inside. And just as He did with, there are many we can think of. You're inside, now you can start to spread the gospel there. You can bring the kingdom of God wherever you find yourself. If it's fault of your own, call out to the Lord. Repent. And the punishment may not go away. Okay? That's one of the things we have to understand. I can remember someone that was on death row some time ago. And over time, they became a believer. And a lot of the church community, I mean, this person had done some horrible crimes. They became a believer. And the person said, "You know, I deserve this." But the church community goes, "Oh, no, no, let's free them because they've become a believer." They didn't quite understand that even though the person came to the Lord, but they were guilty of a crime. And in some cases, the Lord will, you know, free the person. But other cases, they go through it. But the person who had come to the Lord said, "No, I deserve to die." And they weren't worried about it because they knew they had made it right with the Father. You know, people can look at that and see how they... someone through her ministry, I think it was a woman, probably brought other people to the Lord. I can remember another story of someone who was being they were being really beaten up by a group. And they had all of these people, all these believers, and they were doing horrible things to them. And there was this one person that they beat, and the person It was different. What they could see in this one individual is that they still cared for them, that they still wanted them to know the Lord. The others were just in agony and said, yeah, really angry. If you're getting beat up, you're not going to still have compassion on the person that's beating you up. But the persecutors really noticed that this one still had joy, still had something about them that was different as they were going through the torture. That it impressed at least one or two of them to become a believer. They didn't, the others, you know, it was just. But see, one of the things is the Lord gives you strength to go through all these kinds of circumstances that come before you. He's giving you the ability to handle everything. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how difficult it may seem. He will give you and supply you with what you need. Just as it says, seek the kingdom of God and all the other things that you need, you will have. That's a promise. So don't let anything stand in your way of moving forward in the Lord. Allow Him to come into your heart, and especially on tomorrow, think about, Lord, you did a great thing back a couple of thousand years ago on this day. Submit to the Lord. Ask Him if there's anything that's standing in the way of you walking in the power and in what He desires you to do. Understand, He will answer you. Now, the answer may come in all kinds of forms and from anybody. Could happen while you're listening to the radio, surfing the net, watching TV, or that unbeliever down the street, or the drunk that's on the street. Or anything. When you hear it, you will know it. And don't ignore it, because the messenger doesn't come up to your standard. It could be your own little 2-year-old. Right? So it could come from anywhere. And when you're humble, you'll start to accept, okay, Lord, I see what you want me to do. Could be from that boss that's really unethical and everything else. But you know it because it hits you. And don't rebel against the Lord when He disciplines you. It may take a while. One piece, another piece there, another piece there. And He desires to clean all of us up and pour His Spirit into us and cause us to be an army. You can't look at yourself as being insignificant, because He didn't make you insignificant. If you're His child, then He's got something for you to do. It may not be as big as someone else. And maybe sometimes He might give you a big thing to do, and it happens. Still remain humble. And understand He can use anyone. Amen. Father, we just thank you in the name of Yeshua for your love and your kindness. Lord, we pray that each of us will have a burning desire to walk according to your will in everything that we do, that we will not be double-minded and doubt that you're going to direct us, or doubt that you are going to actually guide us. But Lord, let us move forward, and we know that you will correct us if we go astray. And Lord, may each of us be humble enough to swallow our pride and walk in what you show us and what you desire for us to do and what we need to kick off and throw aside and move forward to be your lights in the world. In Yeshua's name, amen. We can have the worship team back up.